all the commandments that you find in the Bible reveal the will of God. And they're not just confined to the Ten Commandments, by the way. They reach out much farther than the Ten Commandments. We are told that it's the will of God for us to pray. You remember, we had that back in 1 Thessalonians, you will recall, that we are to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. So that there are many things that are the will of God, and the will of God is expressed in His commandments. But I do not think that you have all of the will of God, even in the sum total of the commandments that we have in the Scripture. We have enough to reveal that man is not saved by commandments of God. And I'd like to reiterate that and emphasize that, because there are so many today, the law, they say, is essential to our salvation. Now, when we get down to verse 7, I'm going into this in a great deal of detail. We won't get there today, I'm sure. He says there, we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Well, how do you use the commandment? It's good? Well, that's true. And the law, Paul says in Romans, is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. But it's the very fact that the law is good, and it's absolutely good, and demanding absolute goodness from man, in whom there is no good thing. Because Paul says, I know that in me there dwelleth no good thing. And it's because the law is good that the sinner cannot obey it. That's the whole thing about it. It reveals the will of God. And the commandment of God reveals the will of God. So that in order that the sinner might be saved, it was necessary to find a way apart from obedience of a perfect law. And the glory of the gospel is that God found a way that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And we are told today that we have, through this man, that is the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Why? Because it was a ministration of death. The law condemned us. The law wasn't given to save us. The law was given to reveal that we are dealing with a holy God and that you and I are not holy. Therefore, God had to find a way to save us. And that way is the way of the cross. That way is the way of the Lord Jesus. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. The law is not the way to God. Christ is the way to God, and that is the important thing. Now, is God our Savior? He certainly is. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He's the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Now, God provided the sacrifice, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that executed it. He is the one that came to this earth. And then you have this strange statement here, he is our hope. And that is a strange expression, because that's not used very many times. To tell the truth, you're only going to find that used one other time, and that'll be in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord Jesus died to save you. He lives to keep you saved, and he's going to come someday and take you in order to consummate that salvation. My friend, any way you look at him, if you're going to look backwards, he's our faith. And when we look around us, it's love. But when we look ahead, it's hope, my friend. And it's hope actually all the way. And it's anchored in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is a little different introduction. Now he says to him, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And somebody says, well, that's just like the introductions we've had before. No, it isn't. I beg to differ with you. And the difference is this. Yes, we've had grace before, And we've had peace mentioned before, and we've spoken on those too. But friends, we got another word here, that's mercy. Well, what is the mercy of God? Well, actually, mercy is a word that was used back in the Old Testament, and it actually was equivalent to the word grace, because it was the mercy seat back there. And it was the sacrifice that made the throne of God, which is holy and righteous and just, makes it a mercy seat. And when you and I come to God, we don't want justice. What we want is mercy, and we need mercy from God. Now, mercy is what God has provided for all of his creatures. God's got all the mercy that you need. You can call upon it, but it's just like money in the bank. My friend will do you no good unless you write a check, and you write the check of faith. And believe me, when I write a check, I write it by faith a lot of times, because it's not always there. But very frankly, that's what mercy is. God is rich in mercy, we're told. We've seen that one before. He has plenty of it. But when God saves you, he saves you by his grace. Now, God's merciful to you. God's merciful to all these sinners that are in the world today that blaspheme him and repudiate him and turn their back on him. God's merciful to them. He sends rain on the just and unjust. He doesn't play favorites. Even with those his own, sinners today get rich. They prosper. They seem to do better than anybody else. God's merciful to them. But you see, you'll have to come by faith and write the check of faith. You'll have to come by faith, and then God will save you by his grace. Now, you see, these three words, love and mercy and grace, are a little trinity. Love is that in God which existed before he would care to exercise mercy or grace. God was love. That's his nature. It's his attribute. Now, mercy is that in God which provided for the need of sinful man. And grace is that also in him which acts freely to save, because all the demands of holiness has been satisfied. So that God, because he's merciful, you can come to him, and by his grace, he'll save you. You don't have to bring anything. In fact, you bring nothing, because anything you bring is filthy rags. Now, I've read several letters from people who criticize me for talking about do-gooders. Now, my friend, a do-gooder is one that thinks he does not need the mercy of God. He feels that his own good works will save him. I had a man years ago, right up here in Altadena and here in Pasadena. He said to me, and he was on his deathbed, he said to me, he says, "Preacher, you don't need to talk to me about that I need Christ as a Savior and that I need the mercy and the grace of God. I don't need it. I'm willing to stand before him just like I am." You see, and you know what he told me? He told me what all he did. He'd been chairman or president, I think, of the community chest, and he had headed up, and he was head of an orphan's home at one time, or chairman of the board. Oh, he was a do-gooder. And he's going to stand before God on that. My friend, let me say to you, do-good salvation won't do you any good when you really need it. The salvation that God provides for you will enable you to do good, the kind of good that is acceptable to God, because even the righteousness of man is filthy rags in his sight. Friends, this is a marvelous introduction that we have here. We'll pick right up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.